Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Yadavadas. Grihastha Vaishnavas have to remain under the regulations of the Smartas, the Karmakandi Brahmanas. Otherwise, they face problems in society. How can they cultivate Shuddha Bhakti under these circumstances? Because otherwise, if they're going to fit in properly, they have to be able to do what the Smartas are doing. You know, in the day-to-day stuff. You know, the extra things aren't necessary, but your ordinary stuff, that they'll all expect it is being done, right? Anantadas Babaji. Grihastha Vaishnavas have to conform to certain social conventions, such as vivaha, shraddha, and so on. However, they are not required to perform kamya karma, fruit of activities for the purpose of materialistic ambitions. If a person is able to dovetail all activities with Krishna's service, then the imperfections are rectified. For example, a person should not marry with the intention of expanding his dynasty. Rather, he should think that he is accepting Krishna's maidservant as his life partner to establish a Krishna-conscious family. Such resolutions are favorable to bhakti. Right? In other words, establishing a Krishna-conscious family is one thing. Another thing is expanding your dynasty. Understand? They sound the same, but they're different. Because in the one, you're thinking, you know, my line is special, it should go on, it should, you know, carry on, there should be that thing of, you know, whatever's the benefits of that, should, you know, all this. The other is that I am interested in family life, so you find somebody who you can be a life partner with, and in this way then raise a Krishna-conscious family. Right? So it's different. So that's why it's saying it's using the term dovetail, because it has one's own material interests, but it's something that can be nicely engaged in Krishna's service, right? Because there's going to be Krishna's consciousness, right? Well, the kamyaka, that's not something that is there for, you know, the proper, service. That's there that, you know, you're doing it because you want that and that's all, you know? It's not something that, I mean, technically you could, the results of the kamyaka sacrifice, you could engage in the Lord's service, but it's, you know, it becomes just more and more indirect. You know, the endeavor, the everything like that, well, just depending upon Krishna for one's facility. One performs one's duties, whatever one's supposed to receive, one gets. You don't have to do extra things to try to get more. Does that make sense? Yes.
So when we dovetail our activities in line with Krishna's service, it's perfect still because it's spiritualized.
Yes, it's spiritualized.
But at the same time, it can become more and more indirect. So it becomes diluted or...
Means the same activities, or no, you mean just expanding on that?
Yeah, I have a lot of desires, and the further down the line, I then connect the results to Krishna.
Yeah, it just makes it more hard because in between you're doing so many other things, then finally it gets to Krishna. So you want to keep it as close to direct as possible.
So my,
you know, the point is the wife is, he says, is a maidservant of Krishna, like that. So therefore, the children are also servants of Krishna. So, but the reason that you're specifically dealing with them is because your desire to be involved in family life. But still, the connections are very close. But the kamyaka, that you're doing that thing, let's say you want a son, so you're doing a putra kameshti yajna. But it's all about you getting the son. The rituals are all about that. It's not specifically then at the end. Then you could connect that. But the thing is, like you said, it gets very, very far. You could get very distracted. Mm. You know, so that's the point. You have to be very careful not to get so distracted. So that's why those things aren't there. Where the kamika would come in, you just depend upon Krishna, which is the conventional activities that you can be involved in and connect that to Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's just more natural. In other words, you're not doing extra stuff. You're just doing what's the conventional, you know, what grihasthas do. Right? They have a place, there's a family, they make money, they have an occupation. Like that. That's standard. So then those things are connected. The kamika then is even a further extension of that. It just makes it more, you know, more mixed. Mm-hmm. You know, so the more mixed, the less aspect of the pure devotion is there. So one wants to avoid that. Mm-hmm. You know. You know, that's the recommendation. You can do it, but it just means who knows if you'll actually connect it. You won't get distracted. Yes.
So the idea is to minimize the nimittic activities.
Yes, just keep the nimittic to, you know, actually what's required. What are your duties? Anything more than your duties, you don't do. Like that. You know what I'm saying? But then, because the idea is that then devotional service, you're doing all the activities, so eventually that becomes spontaneous because that's what you want to be doing. The difficulty is when we still want to do the material, but we're following the sadhana of the spiritual. Right, so the taste appears to be more with the material. Though there is a taste for the spiritual, otherwise why would we do it? But when it becomes dynamic, then it goes the other way, and then the one is just doing them because it's supposed to be done. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, it takes on a different flavor. Does that make sense? If a person is able to dovetail all activities with Krishna's service, then the imperfections are rectified. Okay, so we just read that one. So in other words, if it's dovetailed, then whatever's the imperfection in that is rectified. It's not dovetailed, it's not rectified. Right? We can say we're being practical in this and that, yeah, but practical for what? Hmm. Practical for in our material desires. That we'd have to say, right? You know, and if we're honest about that, okay, we start with that. As long as other things are connected, then it's a start. You have to start somewhere, right? But the point is one should understand that it's not actually all right, but it's, you know, practical for the moment. Right? But it says, able to dovetail all activities, then the imperfections are rectified. Right? So in other words, one thing is dovetailed, it's rectified there, but the other ones are still unrectified. So when they're all done, then that material attachment is rectified. Now it's dovetailed in the Lord's service. So then it becomes very nice.
So in fact, it's not practical.
Hmm?
In fact, it's not practical.
Ultimately, for the soul, it's not practical. But because the soul thinks it's not the soul, therefore it's practical for the non-soul kind of scene. Yeah. A grihastha bhakta will observe shraddha by giving Krishna prasad to the departed soul as pinda and feed and offer charity to Vaishnav Brahmins, right? Because it's a very elaborate thing, the pinda. You know, very, very elaborate. So it's not that, you know, we're thinking, oh, it's such a trip, you know, invite everyone over, cook, you know, get there, you know, offer the prasad to Vishnu, then feed the Vaishnavs, and afterwards then you have to feed it to them. Now what do you do with it? You know, this and that. That's a trip. That's just like, you know, how you say it? The tip of the iceberg isn't even, wouldn't even be, you know, it would be, you know, because generally the tip means, because that's one part, and then there's another nine parts below. We're talking about the tip of the tip. It means there's a few snowflakes on the top of that tip of the iceberg. That's what we're doing. You know? So that's what it said. It's enough that it's, you've done the rites, but it's not all the different things. So it's done. They get the benefit. By giving Krishna prasad to the departed souls as pinda and feed and offer charity to Vaishnava Brahmins, this is spiritually beneficial to him, meaning the departed soul. Right? Because that's what it's for. But the point is you're doing the thing so he's spiritually benefited. You're not worried about the material benefit. Right? When the devotional practices of bhakti are integrated with the smarta rituals, then the negative fruit of results are removed. right? Because it's being done, as we mentioned before, without attachment, right? With detachment. So you're performing the activity without that attachment. So that means the results for Krishna. So it's been purified. The negative fruitive results are removed, because fruitive means the results are mine. If the results aren't mine, it's not fruitive. Right? On account of including the Vaishnava activities of Shuddha Bhakti, there will be no hindrance on the path of Bhakti. Social dealing should be conducted dispassionately and with detachment, while spiritual activities must be executed in Sadhu Sangha. Right? So in Sadhu Sangha, then you do all the spiritual activities. In the general interest, then the social dealings, then that's done dispassionately without attachment. Right? But you're adding pure devotion to these social conditions. You're seeing it in that way. Everyone's servant of Krishna. They may know it or not, so that's why you deal with them properly. Right? Rather than, I'm dealing with them properly because then maybe I'll get the business deal. Right? No, we're dealing with them properly because that's how you're supposed to deal with everybody. That's just a normal thing. You're there at the meeting, you're meeting with him instead of with the Vaishnavas because of the business deal. You understand? So you have to be able to separate. And why are you doing the business deal? So you make money. And the money is so you can take care of the family and everybody can be engaged in Krishna service. Okay? So.
This personality is very hard because you get entangled and you think responsibilities and something like doing reverse. So.
I'm just thinking, this one sentence we spent 1.5 hours yesterday. That was exactly on dispassionately and detachment. That's what the whole discussion was. Means, in other words, see, what does passionate mean? Because we take it that passionate means you're making the endeavor. No, making the endeavor is not the passion. The passion is you're making the endeavor because you want the results for yourself. That's passion. You're making the endeavor because you're supposed to do that. Right? And because you're supposed to, you're going to get a good result. And that good result's for Krishna. So then one could be acting very dynamically. You understand? But the point is because we're acting in an area that means something to us, we have to be very careful that we're acting with that detachment. Right? Because if you act with detachment, then that means you'll act dispassionately. Dispassionately means without attachment. Means that detachment is referring to the results, the prayojana, and dispassionately is referring to the abhideya. You know? Does that make sense? You know, yeah. Or the element of the sambandha where I'm attracted to it. You understand? It's just a matter of practice. One understands that's what you have to do. Otherwise it becomes too distracting. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then how is it dovetailed? How is it connected? So we want to see that it's properly connected. Yeah. Does that make sense? So even if it's passionately done, the point is then the result comes. You have to be detached from the result because it's for Krishna, and then slowly you can move it back. Until you get back to I'm servant of Krishna rather than I'm, you know, I do what I like, and but I also kind of like the Krishna conscious thing, so I kind of get the results. Does that make sense? You just move it back. You start with the prayojana, then you move it back to the abhideya and move that back to the sambandha. Right? Does that make sense? Because of the what direction is that going? Where are you starting with? Right? You're starting with the mind. Right? But you're moving it back to the intelligence. Right? The intelligence is the sambandha. The mind is the prayojana. Does that make sense? So abhideya is where the two meet. Right? The intelligence is applied, but because you want the results. Right? So now if I want the results for Krishna, there's still that same determination. And the knowledge of how to do it, that remains the same. So what you're changing is the mind, not the intelligence. Right? In other words, we say we're working with intelligence. That means you don't change the intelligence, just you're actually using the intelligence. Does that make sense? When all these performances are pruned of their imperfections, right? Because he was worried about the smarta karmas being performed, right?
What does pruned mean?
Pruned means like a tree. When you prune it, you cut off all the extra branches. That's pruning. You know, it gets really wild and crazy. Yeah. You go in and cut all the extra ones, and it looks very nice. That's pruning. Like that. So you cut out all the extra stuff. In other words, anything that's fruitive, you cut out. Right? Yeah. The point is to express devotion, you need a form. Mm-hmm. Right? So the smarta karma, the activity itself, mm-hmm. is not the problem. Because originally the smarta karma is Vaishnav karma. Mm-hmm. Right? It's called smarta because you're doing it without knowing it's supposed to be done in devotion. Mm-hmm. You do it in devotion. Mm-hmm. So you've actually cut out the fruitive part. It's not that the activity necessarily you cut out. It's why you're doing it, the dispassionately with detachment. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing, right? Because the smartas are doing it passionately with attachment, mm-hmm. right? Because they're doing the mode of goodness work, but it's what they want the result for themselves. That's why it's passionate. Because we take it passionate just means wild, crazy, yeah. whatever you like. No, that's called the mode of ignorance. You know what I'm saying? The mode of ignorance can't tell the difference between itself and anything else. Right? I want to do it, so that's the perfection, so it must be goodness. Yeah. And I have that, you know, determination and everything, so that must be passion. But you're just doing whatever you like, so it's actually ignorance. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Passion means you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing your prescribed duties, but you're doing it with the desire for fruitive results. But then one may say, no, but I'm doing whatever I like with the desire for the results. So what's that? That's called passion and ignorance. Is that my name?
The activity in passion or in goodness are the same.
The activity in goodness and passion actually are the same. That's why Kshatriyas and Brahmins, they're following Shastra, they're following authority. Mm. Right? But the Kshatriya, it's passion, while the Brahmin, it's goodness. Because the Kshatriya wants results while the Brahmin doesn't. That's the difference. So we see is that the training, the Kshatriya does the same training as the Brahmin. Then when his occupation is different. But then they retire, go to the forest just like the Brahmins. Right? It's standard. Kshatriyas go to the forest like Brahmins and retire. Then they do the same activities. So they wouldn't be able to do the same activities if that nature is not there. So that's why they're goodness and passion. Mm-hmm. Right? But the occupation is passion. But their lifestyle still has that element of goodness. So that's why they can do that. Now if a Vaishya also does that, that's considered great. But if he doesn't, okay, it works. You know, it's understood, okay, it happens, you know. You know, he kind of, his vanaprasthas, he's not so involved in the business and stuff. You know, the son is doing, but he's there and keeping his eye on it. He's attached to that his son will prosper and do well, and the grandchildren and, you know, the dynasty and all those kind of things. So it's not as ideal. He should also, like the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, just drop that all and go to the forest and engage in spiritual life. But if he doesn't, you know, you won't say so much. It's not ideal, but you won't say anything bad. The Shudra doesn't at all. He's just there and attached and everything. You don't say much. But if the Kshatriya doesn't go to the forest, then you think something's wrong here. Right? Yeah.
Two things. So Sahajas, they're in mode of ignorance.
Sahajas are in the mode of ignorance. Yeah, you could basically say that.
And is it also
but at the same time as... Unfortunately, they're using a, you know, mode of pure goodness medium for their to express
their
ignorance.
Disguising it well.
Yeah.
And can we say also that passion is always pointing either towards goodness or towards ignorance because there's this endeavor and result? So it's.
Yeah, I mean, but point is pointing towards goodness means is it, you're means you're only going to get a result if you follow the rules properly, right? So now, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So now those rules are established by Shastra, mm-hmm. right? So then it takes its natural form. Goodness is taking its natural form because then it's fruit of activities that are recommended. So therefore it's pious activity. Right? But now if the environment is dictated by ignorance, but you're doing your duties within that ignorance, right? Then you get those results. Right? But at the same time, that's passion and ignorance. You know, because it's not that passion dictates what you do. Goodness and ignorance dictate what you do. Passion is just whether you're doing, you know, the mood in which you're endeavoring for it. Because it's only through passion that means it's only through endeavor that results are there. So you make the endeavor, it gets the results. Because the point is that someone in ignorance doesn't make the endeavor. So it's only someone in passion makes the endeavor, or someone in goodness makes the endeavor. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why you in stories you talk about kings and Brahmins.
Yeah.
One's consistently in goodness, one's consistently in goodness and passion. So things are getting done. The Vaishya is getting things done when he wants to. He wants to make money. But in other things, he might not be getting anything done. You have the occasional one. He does a lot of things and big, you know, special. But it's not so often. You know, kings, it's kind of like it's the rare one that's not so good. Right? Kings are always there. The Brahmins, it's also the rare ones not so good. Oh. Okay.
Must be pruning trees.
No, it's class. During this class, they always fall off the tree. I've been waiting for that one to fall off for a while, but unfortunately, that one has a beehive on it.
Oh.
So now you see the bees flying around.
Okay.
They're trying to figure out what just enthusiasm, passion are two different things. Enthusiasm just means you're inspired to do the activity. Now, you could be inspired to do the activity because you want the result, or inspired because Krishna will get the result. Right? Or inspired just because you're supposed to do it. So you want the results, that's passion. You're supposed to do it, that's goodness. Krishna, you want the result for Krishna, that's pure goodness. Does that make sense? You know? You may also be inspired by the mode of ignorance, but then you'll be doing activities that doesn't give the result you want. So therefore, you know, you're miserable, and then it'll end up in more misery. Or if you think you're not miserable, it'll still end up in misery. You know, that's the problem with ignorance. It doesn't work because you're not following the activity that gets the result that you actually want. You know what I'm saying? You want to go to Calcutta, so therefore I will go and sit in the bathtub. You know what I'm saying? Then you can say, that's not going to get you to Calcutta. That is nice sitting in the bathtub. Hey, it's a hot water. You know, I got the rubber duckies. You know, it's all happening. But it won't get you to Calcutta. But, you know, why are you pushing this point? It's so nice. Why are you being so negative? Why can't you be positive? Why can't you be supportive? Heard these arguments? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. If the point is just to feel good, then you're doing something. Then you can say you're doing the right thing because taking a hot bath, you feel good. But getting to Calcutta, it'll never happen. You know, unless you got a magic flying bathtub or something. You know, just make sure you're flying high enough. You know, because otherwise, people in the 10th story will hear, there's a guy in a bathtub. You know, from the bottom, they'll just see there's a bathtub going by, you know, so you want to avoid the person in the bathtub problem. Yeah. Now, the question is do you take the shower head along with you?
I would, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so you wouldn't just go with the clean, just bathtub, the sleek lines.
I think practicality, you can take the bath while you're.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, would you take the pipe with the shower head and all those knobs in that along with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. Okay, I guess it's part of the culture.
Yeah,
otherwise it becomes too modern, right? Yeah. You have some little bit of older, how do you say, cultural elements.
Elegant.
Yeah, elegance, okay. Yeah, yeah. Now, so that means you want a bathtub with the feet on.
Yeah, of course. Also for landing, it looks better.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, and then when you get out of the bathtub, you can grab the shower thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah.
It can be cold.
We'll have to do it in summertime.
Really hot water?
Could be, but then you'd have to have a heater.
Yeah, when you get out, then it's a problem. Okay. Just observe that the majority of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associates are Grihastha Bhaktas. Since the dawn of history, many devotees who are Rajarshis, Devas, and Rishis were Grihastha Bhaktas. You must understand that Grihastha Bhaktas are universally worshipable. Right? So the point is, Grihastha Bhakta, the point is everything's engaged in Krishna's service. So it's still a respected position. Right? The point is the devotee, Grihastha devotee, is respected because he's a devotee and he's engaging everything in Krishna's service. Right? The Smarta is respected because he's a Brahmin doing the proper activities, though it's not devotional. So of all the material activities you could be performing, it's the best. So that's why they're respected. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know? But it's only because of that. So the point is, you're supposed to be using it for devotion. Okay. Right? Renunciation is only because you're supposed to not be connected to the material world. So there's the mood of it, which is recommended for the Grihastha Bhakta, but there's also the form of it. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, you're working in an environment that could be deemed as fruitive, though you're not doing it for fruitive work. You're doing it to please Krishna. Right? So then you have the external form of not doing anything that's fruitive. But in any case, even that more simplified environment, that must be connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? Because if it's not, then it's like the Smarta. Means, so in other words, the Smarta Grihastha, right? Mm-hmm. Then he is respected because he's performing the mode of goodness religious activities, right? But in attachment. Right? But still, it's respectable because everybody else is working with attachment, but they're not functioning the mode of goodness. Right? So mode of goodness is progressive. So then the Smarta Sannyasi, right, is also respected because he's performing the Brahminical activities, but he's performing them in the external form of detachment. That's higher than attachment. So therefore, this Smarta Sannyasi is respected more than the Smarta Grihastha. But the Vaishnava is above both of those. Right? So technically, the Grihastha Vaishnava is more respectable than the Smarta Sannyasi. But on social custom, the form of it will be greater for the Smarta Sannyasi than it will be for the Vaishnava Grihastha. Right? Because the social element will remain the same. But that mood of surrender, right, that mood of commitment, that will be different. Because you don't surrender to the Smartas. You just don't. But you follow the social form. But devotees, you surrender. You take shelter. Is that? Yadavadav, if the Grihastha Bhaktas are so highly estimated, then why do some of them enter the renounced order of life and thus become Grihatyagis? What qualifications are required to become a Grihatyagi? Right, because his point is as well, if being the Grihastha Bhakta is so great, why are they taking sannyas?
Falling down.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that's another thing. But here is just we're talking about why are they taking sannyas?
I meant falling down to sannyas.
Oh, falling down to sannyas. Oh, okay, because it's so elevated. Then it's why would they drop down to the sannyas path? Well, okay, so yeah, The idea is that if it's perfect, why move beyond that? And not because the other thing is, oh well, because they're not, Grihastha is not a good platform. That's why it's there. But at the same time, that's been established. Grihastha is a solid platform. It's devoted Grihastha. So why would you need to go to some other platform? You had a question. Tyagi means renounced. To give up. So griha is house, and tyagi means one who gives up the house. Right? So They're using that term because it's in relationship to the grihastha. Grihastha means one who has a house, and grihatyagi means one who gives up the house. Because here it means giving up the house means giving up the home. Does that make sense? Because remember before it says a person may have a house, but that doesn't mean he's a grihastha. Grihastha means it's a home because he lives with his wife, right? The family and all that. That's what makes a grihastha. Right? Because we don't say the man has a house, it's his house, but he's a bachelor. We don't call him a householder. Though he owns the house. Right? Does that make sense? And the grihastha, even though he's renting, we still call him a grihastha. The one who has a house. Because the actual point of house is home. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. That's what makes it, is that interaction, that point. Okay. Ananta Das Babaji. Human beings have two propensities. Bahir Mukha, the external material tendency, and Antar Mukha, the internal spiritual tendency. As long as the external propensity is predominant, one must, without offense, and on the strength of saintly association, unfailingly dovetail all one's propensities in Krishna consciousness. Right? So in other words, it's the predominance. Right? Karma means the predominance is the external propensity. Right? Does that make sense? And then you're going to look at it, if the propensity is more for the, how you say, antarmukha, the internal, but you have the element that means you're not dealing with the external. Right? See, here's again an overlay, right, where we're going to have internal potency, external potency, so material and spiritual. Right? Does that make sense? But so material means you're doing the activity for yourself. Spiritual means you're doing it for Krishna. So technically you don't have to change the activity, right? But naturally if it's being done for Krishna, there's less interest in doing things for oneself, right? So then you have the form of not doing things for yourself. That's the overlap. So the sannyas element is the element in which it's the form of not doing it for yourself. But it's still within, it can still be within Bahir Mukha. Right? Just like the grihastha can be within the, what do you call it? Antar Mukha. The spiritual. But because the spiritual means it's not material. Therefore, the sannyas position is supposed to be not material. By situation. You understand? Does that understand? So these overlaps, that's where it becomes confusing. But no, but the grihastha is also not doing it. But the point is then why would you deal with all this? If it's all for Krishna, why would you be doing it all? Since it's all indirect. Well, if in the sannyas position, one can be engaged in direct activity. So why would you do that? Does that make sense? You know, means you're going to The brahmachari, the sannyasi, it means what comes along he eats, right? The brahmachari is there. He doesn't plan what's going to be happening today. He doesn't have to go to the market. He doesn't have to get the money, right? He doesn't have to be nice with the cook so they'll cook, right? Does that make sense? Right? He doesn't have to arrange a kitchen, right? See that the pots are washed and all this and that and all these different things. He doesn't have to deal with the plumbers. He just, when it's time to eat, he goes down, sits down, eats, and goes away. Right? Does that make sense? Right? But the grihastha has to deal with all of that. So the point is if the focus is predominantly on the antarmukha to more of an extreme, then why be involved in these other things that are so distracting? Does that make sense? So that's why there's a difference. Right? That's why there's a difference in the position socially. Because it's a better social position. It's not necessarily better consciousness. You might have a more Krishna conscious grihastha, less Krishna conscious sannyasi. That may be there, but the social position, because as we got into this because of social position. Right? Because it's grihastha is dealing socially, so you have to deal with all these things. So that's why then all these rules are followed. But then you dovetail them all in Krishna's service so they become removed of their imperfections. So technically, there's no difference whether you're a grihastha or you're a renunciate. It doesn't matter, right? But the social situation, there is a difference, right? Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, okay, the milk is being engaged in Krishna's service, right? So is the yogurt, so is the ghee, right? So is the honey, so is the sugar water. They're all engaged in Krishna's service, right? So they're all equal, they're all the same, right? But do we make a distinction in the abhishek, which one goes first? You know, why the milk should go first, why the milk thinks it's better than the yogurt, you know, like that. Ghee costs more than the milk, like that, so does yogurt. So why does milk get to go first? Right? Honey's also not cheap, sugar's not cheap. You know, it's probably the milk's the cheapest of all of them. Why it gets to go first? You understand? So that's the problem, is that even though there's still a distinction, that's why we require authority. Right? Because then authority will decide this. Otherwise, we'll make up our own philosophy. That's what we notice is the six systems of philosophy, it's coming from our own mind. The other forms of non-Vedic, they all come from our own mind. The aprasampradayas, they all come from somebody's mind. Just one day they wake up and go, hey! And then they start a new whole thing. You know? Because they decided that, you know, I'm going to the temple. I'm going to the temple for Krishna, so I have to take a bath nicely and dress nice. So I start a whole thing that it's all about taking a nice bath and dressing very well. You know, that's the whole emphasis, because it's all about going to see Krishna. You know, the gopis went to see Krishna, so we will go see Krishna. So why would you not spend time on this? Why you're rushing off in this and that? You have to, you know, look good, smell good, you know, act good. You know, it's all about that. So, you know, we're in the, you know, going to see Krishna sampradaya, you know, like that too. You understand? This is how they all start, because somebody overbalances it. All of them, they're overbalanced. Vaishnava means it's the natural balance, where it naturally fits. So the point is if it didn't work like that, you say all these different things, then what's the meaning of Madhu Mangal in the Krishna's pastimes? Why have Madhu Mangal? Why should he be a Brahmin? Right? He can just be another one of the kids. There's already enough kids there, so why does he have to be a Brahmin? Add something to the pastime. What is there? He's senior. He's respected. Right? So even though he's a kid, The elder gopis will take advice from him. Right? And of course, because he's Krishna's friend, he's going to give an advice that's good for Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, so it works out. But if he wasn't a Brahmin, what would be the meaning? They wouldn't just ask another kid. But adults. Right? They don't ask their own sons, what do you think about this? No. It's like that, you know. But they ask Madhu Mangal, even though he's the same age as their kids. Right? Plus, he likes to eat. Right? If he didn't like to eat, Brahmins like to eat. So then how could you get him, you know, how could you bribe him into doing things? You know, hey, you go do this, then I'll give you a bunch of laddus. Hey, it's done. You know, it's like, what do you want me to do? You know, also, you know, you steal his lunch, you know, then it's fun, you know. The other kids, you steal his lunch, they might punch you. You know, you steal his lunch, it's just, hey, you know, like this, you know. So, you know what I'm saying? You take his, he'll take yours, you know. Like that, you know, that's not, what fun is that? You take Madhu Mangal's lunch, you know, he's not going to fight. He's going to try to get his lunch, so he throws it to the next one, and he's running around like that. It's fun. You understand? But why is that? Because he's a Brahmin. You understand? That's why these things have to be there. Right? Purnamasi is there. So she's elder, you know, than anybody. At the same time, she's a Brahmin. Because otherwise, she's just an old lady who's going to listen to her. But she's a Brahmin, so everybody listens to her. Does that make sense? You know, Gargi. Is her name Gargi? Madhu Mangal's sister? Nandimukhi. Yeah, so Nandimukhi, because she's a Brahmin, she's that kind of age like Radharani and them. So then she can move with them, but then she's an authority there, and then she could go to any house. If she moves around, no one's going to say anything. Right? Because Brahmins are free to move around. Brahmin people take advice. They go into their houses like that. But if one gopi is in another gopi's house, someone said, why? Why is she here? Right? The elders aren't going to think anything, but the other girls of the same age, why is she here? What's her business here? Right? What arrangements are she making? Thanyamukhi can move in any of the circles and find out that she's a Brahmin. They'll all talk to her, so then she can find out what's happening. You understand? So these are necessary. Right? So all these different elements, they're vaishyas, they go to Mathura to pay their taxes. You know, if that wasn't there, how would these different friendships be there? How would those activities be there? How would the variety be there? It has to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You have a maidservant. She's sent somewhere. Shudras can go also if they're sent on an errand. They're there. So they're going. So they go anywhere because they're sent by someone else. So then so many things can be done. We understand? So even within the pastimes, the whole Varnashram system is important. Right? You know what I'm saying? Radharani, her cooking is special. Why? Because her father said, you'll be a nice cook. You know? Oh, you're so cute. I'm sure you'll be a nice cook. Right? Durvasa Muni, and he was a? Yeah, a renunciate. Right? So that you expect. Okay, yeah. The blessings come from renunciates. You know, the others give blessings. Family members always give blessings, but it comes from renunciates. So then that has that particular thing. Then it must happen. Brahman said it. It must happen. You understand? Then, if that's there, then Radharani can be asked to go cook for Krishna. But why would she be allowed to go cook in another family's house? Right? She doesn't have a relationship there. So whose mother Jashoda in that community?
Queen.
She's the queen. So if the queen asks, you know, okay, it happens. But just another lady asks, why should it happen? Maybe today it happens, tomorrow you don't, you know, you got upset. It doesn't happen. But no, she's the queen. It happens whether you're in a good mood or not. You understand? So all these things are there because otherwise, how would you do so? Everyone's following their duties. But why are they doing it? Simply to please Krishna. Not because they're attached to duties. Right? They're attached to serving Krishna. That's the difference between there and the other place. So in other words, duties support their natural spontaneity. But in Dwarka, then it's the medium through which you express your devotion is through those forms, so through those rules. Does that make sense? So this is how it all works. The problem is here it becomes perverted because we do it for ourselves. That's the problem. So all we're trying to do is getting us to do it for Krishna. But the social things remain. They follow it in the spiritual world. Why wouldn't we follow it here? We'll say, you know, I'm a devotee, so we don't have to follow it. But Mother Yashoda's a devotee. She follows it. Everybody else follows it in the spiritual world. Who doesn't follow it in the spiritual world? So why is it a devotee here is different. So it's just normal social stuff. You do it. Does that make sense? Okay, as long as the external propensity is predominant, one must, without offense and on the strength of saintly association, unfailing dovetail all one's propensities in Krishna consciousness, right? So here, without offense, you're following the different things, and in saintly association. Right? In the secure shelter of the bhakti process, the bahirmukh pravriti will swiftly shrink back and change direction towards the antarmukh pravriti. Right? In other words, bahirmukh means it's going away from Krishna. So if it's dovetailed in Krishna's service, you're taking what's taking you away from Krishna and connecting it to Krishna. So it'll just start to shrink back. And then it will turn around and be antarmukh. Like that. Does that make sense? So it's like the principle of that you took too much milk, so you got a bad stomach. So then you take milk again, but in the form of yogurt, that it corrects it. So it's the same thing. So you're taking your materialistic activities and then dovetailing Krishna's service, so then they become the medicine to cure the actual disease. Right? So that's what you're doing. Right? A vaccine is, you know, the same bugs. Right? Yes. When the propensity turns totally towards inwards, antarmukha, the grihastha bhakta earns the eligibility to be a grihatyagi. If a grihastha renounces a household situation prematurely, there's every possibility of failure. The household situation is a school for the jiva, wherein he educates himself with atma-tattva, the knowledge of the spiritual self. Once his education is over, he may leave school. Right? So this whole thing, grihastha is a school. So that's where the idea is. The brahmachari is the preliminary, so that you're actually qualified to go to school. You know what I'm saying? Does this make sense? So in other words, it's pulled back where it's only antarmukh. So then one is not interested in these other elements, because you're interested in those elements because that's what you needed to know. Right? You go to school because you need to know it. Once you know it, you don't need to be there. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
What is the meaning of premature when you had said
it? Premature means one hasn't fully understood. So you can read that again. When the propensity turns totally inwards, antarmukh, the grihastha bhakta earns the eligibility to be a griha tyagi. If a grihastha renounces the household situation prematurely, right, means in other words, before it's totally turned inwards, that's premature. Like that. In other words, it's partially turned. See, because the general thing is that if it's pretty much turned, or it's predominantly, then there won't be not so much that over enthusiasm, right? Because so when something starts, that's when you see that enthusiasm, right? Because in the process of something developing, the first thing is you just learn a little bit in it, and then you think, well, it's so great, right? But the next stage after that is that sometimes you're doing well, sometimes not, you know, you understand? So that's the difficulty, is that, so for the grihastha, the first time he feels that, hey, this is not really real, or this is not, then he'll feel, now I'm qualified. No, that was the first notice of something. You know what I'm saying? That's where now the school gets serious. Now you've gone from grade school into, you know, your higher, you know, education. That's where it starts, because now it's performing the duty without a desire for the attachment, for the results, right? That's when you'll really learn what grihastha ashram is for. Before that, one was engaged in it, one was being purified by it, but one wasn't actually learning much, consciously, right? One is getting benefit, but one wasn't consciously aware of that benefit. Does that make sense? So that's what you're trying to do. But if one, at that point, because he hasn't actually performed the duties, right? Because what is the point? Oh, this is useless. Why? Because his attraction to it has reduced. Why? Because it's not materially as it doesn't have that enamoring element as it does, right? So now what's the problem? Now, if he goes on, because there's still some of that enamorment is there, but he's gotten the first glimpse that it's not, right? And so then out of that prestige, oh, no, with this and that, so then that can keep him enamored. Then he's enamored by the, you know, the renunciation element. Point is not to be enamored. Right? So then the difficulty comes is then if he prematurely moves out of it, then the problem comes is then if he meets something that's slightly different or more what he would call his ideal, you know, though he had his ideal situation, but because of familiarity, you don't take it as ideal. Then you see something else, then again you're enamored. And again, then they go back into the grihastha scene. You understand? So the trick is working with something without being enamored. That's why it emphasizes so much the proper performance of your duties. We think, oh, well, that's all not so important. That's the actual important part. As far as mechanic goes, is that I'm working with this, though I don't have the attachment to work with it. Right? The guy is just walking along down the road having a good time, just, you know, being himself and, going out with his friends, and he's got his money, he does whatever he wants with it, he goes wherever he wants, right? Mm. So he's free, he's just, you know, doing like that. He's not thinking farther than that, your general guy. And then when does he start to think in as far as responsibilities and this and that?
When he's married.
Yeah, when he sees the girl. Right? Then he just adds that to this, and then he finds out girls don't work like that. You know, it's not you can just add them to everything else. You know, it's that, you know, no, they become the everything else. Right? So then that's the situation. Then he becomes responsible. Then he needs a house. He needs this. He needs that. He needs all these different things. Otherwise, before, it didn't matter. Does that make sense? So that's why all these, it must be done. So he's only doing this because he's attached to the girl. So now if this element of detachment starts to come, but the point is then he performs those activities for Krishna. Right? Does this make sense? That then purifies it. Because otherwise, if at that point he just gives up, he doesn't know how to be involved with that, but not be detached. He just knows that I'm not so attached now. You know, the thing, I'm working so hard and paying all the mortgage or the rent or this or that, and it's so much of trouble. Because before it wasn't trouble. The motive passion makes trouble not be trouble. That's the glory of motive passion. Is you don't notice the trouble. Right? Classic example is Viva Mangal. Right? Goes out, a storm starts. Right, so even just walking in a storm is difficult. Right, then he gets to the river, you know, and the river is, you know, just, you know, beyond its banks, it's this and that. But he doesn't mind going across it, right? You know, and then to get across, he bumps into a dead body, you know, and uses that to float across. You know, you don't even look at a dead body, let alone touch it, you know. But here he's holding on to it, and so he doesn't mind all this. Then he gets to the place he's got to get up. To the, you know, the upper floors, but then, you know, instead of a creeper, he catches a snake and then climbs up the snake. Now that's where the motive passion removes all obstacles, right? That's like a classic example, right? And all the time as the girl is watching this, and she's just going, wow, if you had that kind of determination to know who God was, you'd be a great saintly person. You know, you're wasting all this talent, you know, just on a girl. It says that, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's like, so, yeah. Does that make sense? Did you catch the last? I just feel I have to explain the last point I made, though it was in passing. See, the point is that girls know who they are, and they know how much they're worth. I mean, as girls, not as an individual girl, as the universal principle. Because they know how much they're willing to put in, effort they're making. So they don't expect more effort. You understand? So that's why if you're doing effort way beyond what they would do, for them, they'll say, this is not proper, it's not balanced. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point in which girls can see that, which boys don't. Does that make sense? Because the point is when men are using just the mind, the intelligence is not working. And for girls, mind and intelligence are always working. So that's the point, is if it's an emotional thing, their intelligence still works. But when it's supposed to be an intelligent thing, the mind is still working. That's where the weakness is. But in emotions, that's where the strength is. Does that make sense? Okay. Now we can move on. No one's going to be thinking badly now. Why did he say that? Make sure. Okay. So therefore, it's this. That's the school, right? Right. That's the school where you learn. Because you're dealing with the material energy, whatever it is about it that you're interested in. So it's the school in which you learn that the material energy is not where you're going to find satisfaction. The jiva can't be satisfied there. Right? So you perform your prescribed duties, the results you get, and then you can understand it still is not good. Does that make sense? Of course, but you know, the point is the material world is a school. But I'm saying where the maximum variety and range and depth of things that you're getting into in the Bahir Mukh, that's Grihastha. Right? The other three, they deal limitedly with the material world. While the Grihastha deals as fully as the person is has nature and need. Right? So it's the summation. Right? So that's why then he means the point is then he gives that up. But the point is he's not giving it up out of repulsion. Because he's learned from this school. Right? And he had a good teacher. Right? And so he has no problem. That makes sense?
The graduation. He can have graduation from
this. Yes.
Diploma.
Yeah, he gets a diploma.
So Maharaj, the devotees who are in management position.
Who are in management position.
Yeah, so if they are Grihastha, so they will do fine, or Brahmachari can also do fine.
Depends what they're managing.
It's like temple management and...
Depends what they're doing in temple management. Temples are big, at least around here. You know what I'm saying? Now, do you have a problem if Brahmachari is managing the Sankirtan whole endeavor? You know, arranging the books, getting the books, the buses are there, taking care of there, the insurance on the buses and all that, who's in which bus, you know, this driver got sick, getting another driver, getting this bus fixed, that bus fixed. You know, they need books and so many different things like that. Is it a problem?
No.
No, okay. But if he's, you know, okay, where the Grihasthas are staying, whether, the, you know, all these different things are going on, this one's having a problem with that one, he gets involved to see that it's all working out. Not as ideal. You understand? You know, Grihastha coming in, telling the Brahmacharis what to do, what they should do, like arranging their schedule, this, that. No. You understand? So, in other words, management is a generic thing. Everybody manages. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You want to cook lunch, it takes management. You want to get it off your plate into your mouth, that's management. Right? Babies are not good managers. That's why they don't do it very well. You have to train them to manage themselves. You understand? So management just means that you get something done. It's just where, if it's in line with your duties, then it's natural. You know what I'm saying? Brahmins have a school, so that means they're not going to manage the school? They got to call in a kshatriya to manage? No. Brahmins do, because management is just management. You understand? Because Prabhupada made it so simple that our management is so simple that it's just so generic anybody can basically do it. But actually, administration is way beyond just management. You understand? Because we just think it's, you know, but you add in all the things that go along with it. So administration is way bigger. So when you get into that, that's where Grihastha should be involved.
Okay.
But management, that anybody can do.
Misunderstand between management and administration.
Yeah, there's a difference. It means administration is for those who can do it. Right? In a leadership position means people are involved in administration. You know, just like, let's say, an accountant. An accountant is a bureaucrat for an administrator. He's not an administrator. You understand? We also can't tell the difference within administration, who's the administrator and who are the assistants to the administrator. You know, so like that. So, you know, the bureaucrat has experience, so he should be listened to, but he's not the one, he doesn't know how to lead. Yeah.
So simply put, can we say that bureaucrat is Shudra, manager is Vaishya, administrator is Kshatriya?
In a kind of the social context, you could say that, but the point is everybody manages.
Yeah.
It's just what you're managing. You know, someone's managing education, someone's managing administration, someone's managing economics, someone's managing arts. Like that. Like you have a supervisor in a company, that's a Shudra. But he knows how to, he knows the art of management. You know what I'm saying? You know, you get an MBA means you learn the art of management. You don't learn business. You learn the art of business management. You don't learn business. That the Vaishnavas. That's simple. Buy it for cheaper than you sell it. And find somebody who's willing to buy it. That's it. You don't need to go to, you know, 1 or 2 years to get an MBA for that. If you do, it means you're not going to learn it. You know what I'm saying? But the Vaishya kid, even when he's small, he's already figured that one out. You know, he's already wheeling and dealing, you know, right from an early playground, age. You know, but yeah, right on the playground. You know, it's all happening. You know, it's already, this is happening and that's happening, and you know, but it starts off as, you know, give me a sandwich or give me a this or you know, like that. So, you know, it's all happening like that. Right? So, you had one of those in the playground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the Vaishya. The guy who's controlling what everybody on the field is doing, that's your, you know, more of your Kshatriya. You know, the guy sitting over in the corner doing his homework while everyone else is going crazy, that's your Brahmin. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that. So like that, you can... The nature is there, it's always there. Like that. Okay. Yadavidas. What symptoms indicate that a devotee has acquired the eligibility to become a griha tyagi, anatta das babaji? He must be completely free from the desire to associate with women. Right? So that's the point. It doesn't mean he can't do it, but he doesn't have the desire to do it. This is where we make the mistake also. Is that if you're interacting with women, then that means you're tight. No, it's if you have the need to interact, that's the problem. Right? Does that make sense? Point is devotees interact with devotees. But if you have a need to interact with devotees who are women, that's different. Then one should not give up your grihastha life. Right? Does that make sense? He should be very merciful to all living creatures, right? Because you're not going to bother anybody. Because for the grihastha, you'll pick and choose, you know, in the beginning, you know, who you're nice to and who you're not. But you're supposed to be nice to everybody. You can't be, it means as a grihastha, you can't be nice to everybody. Right? Does that make sense? You can't, because they're dealing with you in a certain way, they're affecting your household. You can't deal with them as nicely as someone else because it's affecting your household. You understand? It's affecting others, your dependents. Like the king. You can just go, oh, well, the next king, he wants our kingdom. You know, we're Vaishnavs, we're humble. You know, why we should know? The point is he has all his dependents. He fights. Right? But if he's out in the forest on his own, he's given all that up. He likes to sit in one place all the time. You know, but then he comes the next day and someone else is sitting here, he'll move. He won't go, hey, I'm a Kshatriya, you can't sit there. No, it's that, hey, you know, okay. You understand? So that's the thing, is that he should be merciful to all living creatures. Right? So whoever it is, he deals with them properly. Does that make sense?
How far do we take that? I mean, he shouldn't exploit it.
He shouldn't be exploited. He uses his intelligence. But the point is, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes. In other words, if it's favorable for your service, so being more detached is favorable. You know, that's what you're doing. You're living in the principle of detachment. So being more detached is favorable. So if it happens, you know, if it happens that way, because other times it goes the other way. The idea is that indifference. So therefore, you deal with everybody nicely. They don't deal with you so nicely, then you deal neutrally. They're nicer. Doesn't mean merciful, means you're just going out of their way and just everybody is, you know, you're nice to. It's that you deal properly. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Handle money and material possessions with indifference. Because right? Before it's mine, but now it's indifferent. It's here, it's with you, using Krishna's service. When it goes away, it's gone. You know? That's all. Rather than, oh, that's that, and lamenting about that, or making the endeavor to get that, or why it was taken, or the justice about it, or... No, it's just, it's gone. It's there, it's gone. Right? You understand? So in Grihastha life, then one has to do those things, because things must be just. But in the renunciation, it's not a matter of just. It's just a matter of, that's the way it is. Accumulate just enough food and clothing for times of want. Right? So you just have enough for just in case. You know, it's like you have, it's warm now, but it will get cold. So you have enough for when it gets cold. Or, you know what I'm saying, you just have enough for that it works. As it's needed, you have it. You don't need it, you don't have it. You know what I'm saying? You have two sets of clothes or three sets of clothes because you have to wash them. You don't need 10. Right? Because you wear the same thing. You know, it's the weekday. You wear the same thing. You're going to a program. You wear the same thing. You're hanging around the house. You wear the same thing. It's the weekend. You wear the same thing. You're going traveling. You wear the same thing. Right? So the only reason you have more is that that's what you need to do to keep, you know, clean. Right? But the grihastha, you have this for when you go to this program, and this for hanging out at the house, and this for, you know, when you travel, and this for going to Calcutta, and this, you know, all these different things, right? So it's more, it's not in needs of want, times of want. It's what you want, but it's not time of want. That, in other words, it's needed. Of course, you say, no, you have to do this. Yes, but that's why then the education is ongoing. Right? That's the point. Have pure love of Krishna. Right? So then you're focused on Krishna rather than something else. Avoid the company of gross materialists. Right? Because, you know, why would you associate? There's nothing to gain there. Right? There's nothing, something about it. Okay, you can get money from them, or, you know, you just like, you know, certain ways they deal and stuff like that.
Are we not also here distinguishing between giving and taking association?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. But this means he doesn't have these desires, he doesn't have these needs, you know, or he has these qualities. Be unconcerned about either praise or insult, right? They speak nice, great. They don't speak nice, hey, who cares? Be uninterested in ostentatious show. You don't have to make that extra show, right? You know, it's like, you know, the dhoti with the border this wide. You know, you don't have to do that. You know, it's just... And be equipoised and dispassionate in life or death. Right? Whatever happens, whatever's going on, then it's just, you know, equal. Nishimad Bhagavatam 11.255, it is stated, Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who destroys everything inauspicious for his devotees, does not leave the hearts of his devotees even if they remember and chant about him inattentively. This is because the rope of love always binds the Lord to stay within the devotees' hearts. Such devotees should be accepted as most elevated. Okay, so the Lord is always attached to the devotee. Means why would he leave? Because he gets insulted. But he doesn't get insulted because of his affection. You know, means that the child's doing something, the mother picks him up, you're not supposed to be doing that, the child gets upset, you know, and starts beating the mother and stuff like that. Does she get insulted? No. Right? At least not in your old archaic kind of like concepts, right? You know, maybe in the modern one she calls up, you know, the parent abuse helpline or something like that. You know. Guarantee that's coming. Right. Now it's the kids, but once it goes so much the other way and so many parents are upset, there will be the other way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. So that means is he's equal poise and dispassionate. So that's why Krishna is. He's not worried that the devotee will die, because he'll come back to him. So the devotee's not worried that he'll die. Right? So if you're alive, you serve Krishna here. You die, you know, the soul won't die. So you'll be alive somewhere else. You'll serve Krishna there. Yadava Das. What are the differences between genuine detachment and artificial renunciation? Ananta Das Babaji. Real renunciation is so firm that it can never be broken at any time. False renunciation arises from deception, dishonesty, and desire for prestige. Right? You see something, so this is, you know, you mentioned that first feeling that, well, maybe grihastha life is more trouble than you were thinking before. You know, the motive passion goes down a bit. So now you think, now I'm qualified for sannyas. So that's the matter of what he mentioned here. Deception, dishonesty, and desire for prestige. Right? Because dishonesty is made, yeah, that moment is there, that's real, but the point is, what about all the other moments? You know, you're sitting there and going, wow, this is all this and that, and then the wife goes, you know, honey, it's time for a lunch, you know, then bang, you know, that's gone, go in, and wow, this is great, so it's gone, that moment, you know. So that moment was there, but it's not, then you go back to it. Why would you go back? Because of the philosophical thing or because of the prestige thing? You know? So then that's the whole difficulty. Some people make a false show of renunciation to gain the respect that is offered to nirapeksha bhaktas who have given up household life. But such false detachment is futile and completely inauspicious. Right? Because people get inspired, they do the different things, but because it doesn't have substance, therefore it's not ultimately going to be a benefit for those persons to have gotten that way. It's good that they are inspired, even if the person's not. They're following the rules, they're doing the things, they see the symptoms, so therefore they're responding. So on their side, it's good, but the problem is then if something goes wrong, they have a tendency to reject. I got cheated by this so-called senior devotee, so all senior devotees are cheaters. That's the weakness that comes up in the neophyte, right? So that's why it's inauspicious, it's not ideal. As soon as a person leaves home, the symptoms of his eligibility for detachment disappear and depravity sets in. Right? It's very easy to be detached when you're with the thing of attachment. Because you have it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you look at it, it's easy to do. The lady is with the husband. And she's saying, I don't want to talk to you. You know, I want to be alone. You understand? So it appears very detached. But it's based on the attachment. Because the husband is there, right? The relationship's been proven, so therefore, if you kick him out of the room, then the relationship still goes on, right? But it's based on that you have. Do you understand? Does that make sense? So it's very easy when you have something to feel very renounced. Yes. But the point is if it's not completely clear, then when one moves out of that situation where one has that, then the detachment will disappear.
So if the man moved to another country, that wouldn't be good.
If he moved to another country.
Like the woman throws him out of the room.
Throws him out of the room, he moves to another country.
That's not what she means.
No, well, it also depends upon how small your country is. You know, like that. You know, right there. Like, you know, there's like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, Luxembourg, you know, here, this, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, it's just so easily you can go to the next country. You know, so. No, it means is you just go back to the position that you were in just before that one. So if you were sitting in the chair and you go sit on the couch and she says, get out of here, that means go back to the chair. Doesn't mean leave the room. You understand?
Real detachment means it is based on realization. Real detachment.
Yes, it's real detachment is based on realization, but the symptoms will be there.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. The point is one must be completely free from the desire to associate with women. That's a universality. It's not the, what do you call it? Visesha. Especially this woman, I don't want to associate with. Right? Because then it's just a matter of another woman. But it's when it's women. You know what I'm saying? You can associate with devotees, but you're not picking that. You want to associate devotees who are women. Does that make sense? It's subtle, you know. So the point is that universal element must be there. Just like in dealing, you deal with everybody nicely, not just certain ones nicely. Right? Right? Because you deal with certain ones nicely, certain ones not nicely, because there's something to gain or something to lose.
Okay.
Yadavadas, is it essential for a Griha Tyagi Bhakta to change his dress, adopting the garb of a renunciate? Anantadas Babaji, it is very helpful to be identified as a member of the renounced order. A renunciate's family members will no longer maintain a relationship with him and will easily give him up. He will no longer desire to enter his house, and a natural detachment will awaken in his heart, with a consequent fear of materialistic society. It is beneficial for some bhaktas to accept the outward signs of renunciation, though this may not be necessary if detachment from household life is fully matured. Right? In other words, it sets you apart, so then you can't just move around as you please and do what you please, and others can't just do what they please, because the external symptoms are there. Right? But he's saying if that very mature state, the grihastha, that he may not need to. Right, if it's favorable, he does. Like, you know, sometimes you see is that there's you know a few devotees that you know they're still connected. It means they're still married, but they're not really together. The family, they're always just moving around, preaching this. But they're grihasthas. They're wearing white, or even if the wife is not involved, that they still wear like that, and it goes on. They preach nicely. It goes on. Now, if it's favorable, then they may take up the dress, but it's not necessary. You understand? Just because it's not necessary doesn't mean it's not done. You know what I'm saying? It's like the guest comes to the house and I make some nice arrangement. The guest may say, oh, this is not necessary. So for them, their own mentality, it's not necessary. It means that they don't have the feeling that I'm special, so therefore I'm the guest, so I get all the special treatment. So for them, it's not necessary. But as far as a host and you have the facilities, it's necessary. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, for you it's not necessary, but it may be for the preaching, the community that you're preaching in, it may be necessary. Does that make sense? But in the beginning, it's there. By that, then you can identify more. You can, yes, I have to do this. But the other one is just the mentality is already there. Right? He hasn't changed the dress, but the mentality is there. So since it's not about prestige or gain or loss and that, so it's not that he would be more prestigious if he had the position. Right? It's just a matter of, he's a devotee, he's a preacher. Right? But if for himself or for the community it will help, be more fixed and like that, then it's accepted. So
just the same philosophy, first dress, then address.
First?
Dress, then address.
First dress, then address. Yeah?
When it says fear of materialistic society, wouldn't that indicate that he's
fear
not
of materialistic means what are you fearful of? Society or the materialistic side?
The materialist side.
Yeah, because you're afraid of it, meaning you wouldn't want to get involved. You wouldn't want to be distracted by it.
But doesn't it indicate attachment? I mean, if you're completely detached, then who cares?
No, but the point is you're functioning within their social things. Mm. If you're that detached like that it doesn't matter, you're on the Avadhuta platform, so you're not even interacting properly. So it does, then you could say it doesn't matter, because no one will deal with you normally. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the point, is that if you're dealing normally, then that's the point, is you're afraid of people's the material, the consciousness, this and that. You don't want to get distracted like that. That power of Maya, that's what you're afraid of. Then I said, like Prahlad Maharaj. But that's fear, is because you're comfortable with your relationship with Krishna. You're fearful of losing that relationship. While the other is, you're fearful of gaining that relationship. Because if I'm not this body, then that means I'm servant of Krishna. That means I have to give up my attachment to the body, because I'm not actually the body. So I'm afraid of the relationship with Krishna. I'm afraid of that surrender.
Yes.
Right? Is that, yes. Yeah, no, they're very comfortable with Maya. You know, like that. Yeah, the West Coast by habit, the East Coast by pride. Yeah, one should be afraid of Maya. Because it's like, oh no, we can do anything, you know. So it's great if you can go do it for Krishna, because that's your mentality. If they're successful, great. But if they're not, then, you know, it's a bit of a distraction. So generally one would be a little bit more subdued. But because the nature of the Western is to do the outrageous, you know, at least the American. If you're not doing the outrageous, you know, you're not doing anything. You know? So therefore, then if it's successful, it's great. It's like shooting the rhinoceros. If you do it, it's great, but it's a bit extreme to try in the first place, you know, because, you know, if you don't do it, you know, it's impossible to do that. But so that's kind of the situation. They're extremists. So as long as it's dovetailed and works, then it's great. Yes.
What you mentioned, favorable for the community, in what sense? Maybe?
Favorable to the community. Because then they can see, and they can, oh, he's renounced, so therefore he's someone we can, you know, have trust in, or this or that, or he's not just one of us. Because if he's one of us, it's like, you know, what's the difference? You know? Why are you better than me? You know, so. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 249.46. I wonder what I would have said. 249, what I would have said. I would have said 26, I think. Yeah, 249.26. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord, who bestows his causeless mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. Right? So it's both. The materialistic activities means you're doing it for yourself, and the ritualistic performances that are being done to get all these good results. Footnote 11. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is no longer attracted to material activities. Right? Material activities means it's being done for yourself. Right? We're not meaning specifically the activity. That's why both are mentioned here. Material activities and ritualistic performances. Right? Ritualistic performance is what gets the result. Material activity means I'm doing it for result. Like before it said, dispassionately and with detachment. One is with dealing with the Abhideya, one's dealing with the Prayojana. Because materialistic means the results for me. Right? Ritualistic means I do the activity, I'll get the result. Right? Like that. Or I'm just doing it because I'm supposed to do it, not that it's to please Krishna. When one is engaged in devotional service, he's no longer attracted to material activities. When a man is covered by different designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. One has to become freed from such designative activities. Sarva Padi Vinir Muktam. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19.170. And become pure in order. Oh, it's down here. In order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. through purified senses. Right. So the senses are purified because they're engaged in the Lord's service, and the mentality is purified. Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchate. The service of the Lord through purified senses is called Bhakti Yoga, or devotional service. The sincere devotee is always helped by the Supersoul, who resides within the heart of every living entity. As Lord Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Right? So, constantly devoted and worship me with love. So if we're constantly engaged and we're doing it to please Krishna, Krishna will give the intelligence. This is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee, and his engagement in material activities ceases completely. At that time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization, which begins with Varnashram Dharma. Right, so in other words, one would say, well, if material civilization begins with Varnashram Dharma, then what's the other? That's called, animal life. It's not called civilization. Right? It means amongst the animals, they like to call it civilization.
Yeah, so actually you would just say civilization. It would actually be enough just to say civilization.
Yes, because that means Varnashram.
Yes.
Right, but because there is this dual definition these days. Right, because before it was there was only Varnashram, so then you wouldn't have to mention it, but now you have it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of one's becoming liberated from the Varnashram Dharma, the most exalted system of human civilization. At such a time, one feels himself to be perpetually the servant of Lord Krishna, a position taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Right? What's Varnashram Dharma? It doesn't mean the activities, because we can see that before the activities are still performed. It means the identity, that I'm a grihastha. No, I'm just a devotee who is serving through the using grihastha elements in Krishna's service. Right? Right? Or I'm a Brahmin. I'm using those activities in service to Krishna. So giving up Varnashram doesn't mean the activities are necessarily given up. Right? It means giving up the upadhi, the identification, because it says if the upadhi is there, you can't do devotional service. But we're saying grihastha Vaishnava. So that means then he's having to give up the upadhi that I am a grihastha.
Yeah.
Right? When a man is covered by different designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. One has to become free from such designative activities. Right? So you have this dual overlap there. You understand? In other words, if you're going to say, oh, see here, we don't have to follow Varnashram, but then you're going to replace it with modern, then that's not what it means. Because here Prabhupada made it very clear, the most exalted system of human civilization. He didn't just say the Indian alternative, like as some would like to make it. You know, there's Western culture, and then there's Indian culture, and then they're all the same. No, there's the most exalted, Varnashram, and then there's everything else. Right? And then you can decide there is whether, you know, this one is better than that one, is better than the other one. I am not a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I am not a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. What am I? I am the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 1380. Through the disciplic succession, one can attain this conclusion, which is perfect elevation to the transcendental platform. Right? So in other words, he's given up that identity, so he only identifies as a devotee. So that's how then he's able to, you know, all these other elements are manifest. He's kind to everyone, he deals with everything, he's not worried about the situation. But we see as he followed the duties of a sannyasi. But only those duties that are favorable in devotional service.
Yeah.
You know, just as his grihastha devotees, they're all eternal associates. Mm. But they follow according to what's useful in devotional service. Other elements weren't so important. So So these two things at once, there's the mentality. So giving up upadis, that's sambandha. Right? But it doesn't mean the Abhideya is not still using the Varnashram methods. But the point is because of changing the sambandha, that means the prayojana is different. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I have a Brahmin man and I have a Brahmin woman. Okay? So the activities are based on that. Does that make sense? I have a Kshatriya man, a Kshatriya woman. The interaction is based on that.
Yeah.
Right? Vaishya man, you understand?
Yeah.
So therefore, the sambandha is the masculine principle, the prayojana is the feminine principle. You change the one, you change the other. You can't change, I am a servant of Krishna, but the results are mine. Right? What would that be called? Right? That's anuloma. Right? In other words, the masculine principle is higher than the feminine. You understand? They must match. So the Abhideya remains the same. You know what I'm saying? The Brahmin interacts with his wife, the Kshatriya interacts with his, the Vaishya, they all act in the same way, of being pleasant, being nice, being supportive, that's the same. So the Varnashram as Abhideya elements remains. Though technically it's not Abhideya. Abhideya is doing the service for Krishna. But it's the form you use. So it's through the disciplic succession one can attain this conclusion. Otherwise, then it can't be obtained. Which is perfect elevation to the transcendental platform. You want to get to the transcendental platform. You know, that's what one's trying to do.
Just a little question. It is said that when there is a stage of becoming free for the contamination of the material world, at such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee.
Makes friends with another devotee.
Means before that stage, it's not possible to make friends with a devotee before that stage of free from contamination of material world.
You'd have to take this friendship, you know, on what it's been, because otherwise, what friendship causes that his engagement material activities cease.
Yes.
So what is that friend?
That's sadhu.
Right. So in other words, he's making friends with advanced devotees or the spiritual master, you know, like that. That's the...
Not ordinary person.
No, no, not just, you know, hanging out. Hey, what are you doing this afternoon? You know. Yes. Yes, realizations. We come to the conclusion of that one gives up all the material, you know, the point. It means, yeah, in other words, when one is engaged in devotional service, he's no longer attracted to material activity. So that material activities are therefore useless, and one can give that up. That comes from through the disciplic succession. Does that make sense? In other words, this is the conclusion, right? We're going through logic. So the conclusion is the same as the thesis. So the thesis is when one is engaged in devotional service, that he is no longer attracted to material activities. Why? What's the reason? Because man is covered by designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. Right? So that means it, the designations are what causes material life. Giving up those designations, that's what causes the spiritual. You understand? That's your logic. Right? Then he gives the examples. Right? Examples, his quotations, and then that's going to bring it back to, therefore, he feels his time as a perpetual servant of Krishna, and then gives that, and then through the succession, therefore, which is perfect elevation to the transcendental platform. Does that make sense? So that logic is always there. Does that make sense? So sometimes if you don't understand the last point being made, look at the first one. And if you don't look at the first, understand the first sentence, look at the last one. Like that. Because they're the same. They're just worded differently. Like that. You'll find all the purports are like that. Like that. But it's just so smoothly done, it doesn't come out to be academic. It doesn't come out that he's using logic. But it's always, every purport is like this, unless it's just some kind of a note. You know, says, you know, he went to Kuliagram. And Prabhupada says, Kuliagram, you know, you get on this train, you go to here and there and like that, and it's, you know, get off at that station and then, you know, 2 kilometers from there. So that's not, you know, according to that. That's just a note.
Right. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaur. Amen.